Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chomi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! Mm. I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Chomi from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM.
Good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Chomi. It's that time of the evening that we look at affairs of business, economics, trade, and everything that affect our bread and butter. It's the early evening of the Tuesday of the 14th of April 2026, and I'm indicating to you that days and nights are moving very fast, and it's up to you to make sure that are you focused on the game, are you also looking at what you have promised yourself, particularly at the beginning of the year. Let me ask you a question before you move forward to say, how far are you with your 2026 goals? How far are you with your 2026, you know, yearly plan? Some of the people, they call it yearly resolutions. How far are you? If you did not achieve 80% of your yearly resolution, you are still fine. You still have enough time to redo, rework on the plan, commit on the resources, and also make sure that you work on the sacrifice, because there was one guy who indicated to say, in life you have to sacrifice something. Whether you are sacrificing your time, you sacrifice your money, you sacrifice your interest for the better good of the future. That's why that is a very important question, particularly when we are in April. Yeah, a lot of things are happening around the world. At the center of that is the Strait of Hormuz, where the President of the United States of America indicated that they are going to close it down. And it's interesting in this context to say they are no more speaking about, you know, opening it up, because the attempt of opening it up was unsuccessful. Now USA is saying, if we cannot eat, let's put sand into the food. And the main concern is who is going to suffer in that context. Is it Namibia? Is it Kenya? Is it South Africa? What is a better alternative and what is a better option, particularly looking into that context? And looking at the war of public relations, it seems like Iran is winning the public relation, public posture, and also public sympathy, particularly having well-trained diplomats who are presenting, and they are appealing to the world currently, especially when also the President Pezeshkin has also indicated to say he is, you know, commending the Pope by condemning war in Iran, where you also have the Pope being condemned by Donald Trump to say no, it's not good for foreign affairs. And in that context, we'll be able also to see that war is fought on by different means, because what this Middle East war have taught us is that it's not necessarily about who has military powerhouse. It's not necessarily about who is the giant when it's coming to control of the sky with better equipment. It's not about who is armed, but there are various aspects, such as, you know, the aspect of, you know, trade and economic warfare. It seems like when you look at Iran and the USA, these are the big giants fighting at the global arena. And you also be able to understand that Iran, understanding that it was not able to win at the conventional warfare, it also took a different approach. In that context, that different approach is economic warfare, by closing all the gap, by inflicting pain, not only to the USA, but also to its allies. That's why when you look at not only the Wall Street, but the stock market of the USA now, seems like there's, you know, it has gone down with 2%, because investors, they also have anxiety of the prolonged war. In that context, you also be able to understand that if you read economics report, you'll be able to tell you to say, Iran has made around $4 billion just in the month of war. Especially when he decided to charge the fees from the ships that are passing through the Strait of Hormuz. And they made more money during war. And that's why America decided to say, no. This battle must be fought different means. But interestingly, as we are currently speaking, China is busy also hosting international players, particularly foreign engagement. You can also see the Prime Minister of Spain is in China. You also be able to see that some of the players in oil and gas, see the delegation from Abu Dhabi is also in China to look at the context and also the content of diplomatic and economic relations, and also discussing the conflicts that is in the Middle East. And you can also be able to see that China being the emerging second powerful nation, which has never.
Beat the fuel increase with USAVE specials on all your toiletries and household items. A Dawn roll-on deodorant, just $14.99. Lovey's premium disposable nappies, just $139.99 per selected size packs. 400 ml sun gel dishwashing liquid, just $18.99. 1 kg bag of Sunlight 5-in-1 hand washing powder, $29.99. 8 rolls of Twin Saver single ply toilet paper, just $39.99. USAVE. For unbeatable prices.
The emerging second powerful nation, which has never engaged into direct conflict for a very long time, seems like it has an upper hand, particularly in controlling and directing the global economic agenda. That's why you also be able to see that even that money that was made by Iran, it was not made in US dollars. It was made through Chinese currency. Into that context, remember, apart from looking at the affairs of geopolitics today, I'll be joined, particularly after 30 minutes, I'll be joined by Gideon Kashile. He's a founder of Okahao Art Center. He's a visual artist, and we're going to speak about the business of visual artists. We're also going to speak about the aspect of talent and also academically gifted individuals, and also to look at the understanding, either his parents' understanding or the understanding of the public in general, authorities, when it comes to support, when it comes to pursuing interest, and also the business of art. And we can also be able to interrogate the matter, particularly the matter that is concerned with the area of financial support from the government, and also to see how the industry is looking like. So it's quite interesting to look at that context, and we are always encouraging you to make sure that you stay tuned from this hour until 1900 hours, as we are going to give the mic to Mtuma team to give you what they have for you today. Edia, looking in the context of Namibia, it's very clear the budget has gone through. The budget bill was passed. Now it's financial distribution and hard work. And also to appreciate where things are going well, and also not to shy away, particularly when you look at, interrogating matters that are not only going smoothly, but matters that require critical attention, that require assessment, and also matters that require accountability. Because even the president has indicated that there is no tolerance of corruption in Namibia. That is treason, and indeed treason must be fought. If there is somebody who is using other means, particularly to gain personal resources, using public resources, that person must be dealt with accordingly, and also within a given time. And before we look at other global affairs, it's quite interesting. Looking, for example, in Nigeria, you cannot be able to see that countries have come up with measures, particularly responding on the crisis that is caused by the disruption of 20% of the global transportation, either is oil or fertilizers. Seems like regardless of the challenges of internal security in Nigeria, particularly the northern province of Niger, you'll be able to see that the government of Bola Tinubu has also came up with measures, economic strategies that is cutting import duties on a range of goods from the 1st of July. And that is indicated that it's a move to make sure that there is easiness in terms of the cost of living and support businesses. And this is one of the most beautiful things I have ever seen, apart from the interventions that African government have been coming up during COVID-19. It stated that the president said duties will be lowered on rice, sugar, palm oil, passenger vehicle, and construction materials. What does this mean? This means that, companies and also businesses, companies and businesses that selling or importing goods in Nigeria, they will buy at a cheaper price, which means that the presidency has indicated that if it comes to food, whether you transport that rice from the Middle East, when it comes to Nigeria, when it comes to palm oil, or you bought passengers vehicles, it will not stop the order of business. That's why the government has indicated that to fight that, challenges that are brought by the change in terms of price, they will lower, the duties on those goods. And it is stated that under the new rates, tariffs on passengers vehicle will drop to 40%, bark rice to 47.5%, and raw sugar cane between 55 to 57%. Palm oil duties will fall to 28.75%. This means that Nigeria has come up with an economic strategy to make sure that when it comes to their own people, they are not going to feel more pain. It's almost the same with subsidization of oil. It's almost the same with covering up of the cost that could have been too painful for the citizens to afford. And looking at this context, one must also be very clear, especially when it comes to Nigeria, because Nigeria has also come up with a strategy on protecting domestic market, especially when Aliko Dangote was given a green card, particularly when it comes to oil supply. And you also found out that the World Bank was also not happy. Indicated that no, Nigeria, it's not right what you need to do. Make sure that other players are also coming into the country, because you are not playing according to the to the trade laws. And if you look at World Bank advising Nigeria on that aspect, did World Bank advise those who are playing at the global trade road? At the global trade law, particularly those who are blocking the trade routes. And it's really something that people must look at to say, is it only happening in Africa when you have a dominant power, which is local manufacturing and refining? But when it's other countries, they don't advise on that. Or is it me who is not getting things right to say, if it's Dangote selling in Africa, people are saying, no, you must allow other people to play in that market. But their argument is always here to say, we are allowing Dangote to sell oil because the oil in Nigeria, the petrol price have risen, rose by more than 50%, and is increasing the cost of transport. That's why I understand that this is also the time that you need a politician who also understands business. Because if you go deep into the history of not only Bola Tinubu, but also looking at some of the key players in the administration, either is the finance minister, either is the president, you must be able to understand that they understand that game very well. Because Nigeria and business, they did not just come yesterday, and they are looking at that aspect to say, we are making sure that Dangote is selling at home while we are subsidizing, and we are also making sure that when it comes to the duties of critical goods, we are not going to charge more. In order to allow people to survive for quite a long time, because the future is not very clear on how this conflict is going to turn out. And it seems like those who are pursuing the war in the Middle East, it's like it's getting out of order. But there are also good indication some way, somehow, to say there are also indication that the second round of talks between Iran and also U.S. may manifest soon, but you don't know when. But the question is also to say, if analysts are already saying U.S. has lost a lot of billions, will it come out of that Middle East? And what will be the deal? Because this war can only end in one thing. When all the countries got exhausted and come to the drawing board, as it has been indicated, to say they also want to rest, or when one of those countries have to trade through, because when people are on the table, you make sure that when you go to negotiate, you lose some of your points, then you also get admitting the other point. That is where you meet halfway. That's why there is always this thing of win-win situation, to say you can't go to the negotiation where you are only going to be advised, where you are only going to be imposed, but not necessarily means that you are also going to have a say. And it's also something that we should also learn to say, in any table that we enter as Namibia, what is that that we are aiming to come out with? Because if you learn from Iran, Iran is very clear to say, we have suffered enough. When you come onto this table, we want a guarantee that there will be no future attack on Iran. We also want to continue with our nuclear program. We also want to have control of the Strait of Hormuz and many other points which were stated. And the U.S. is so very clear to say, no nuclear, apart from any other point, nuclear must be come out of the table. Then the question is that who is going to trade, and at what rate is that going to trade? And understand that every country has a right to present its diplomatic position, but one way or the other, things have to come in order, and the world has to progress. And remember that the world will not stop when Iran and US are fighting. Yes, they can be fighting in other they can be fighting at the most critical economic sensitive place in the world, but the world is not stopping, because it's not the first time, it has happened before. And you also see that allies are aligning and realigning. When you look at Mark Carney in Canada, he is realigning his political direction, and he's also saying through the campaign, I don't know if it's a political statement, but it sounds with evidence-based intention to say no more money to be spent on U.S. Defense, but it's going to be spent on expanding and protecting the territorial integrity of Canada. And you also look at, Europe on the other side. Europe is also saying they are looking the other way, and say Prime Minister Starmer of Britain is indicating that he's looking forward especially to hold a high level meeting with around 20 head of states, particularly looking at the Strait of Hormuz. And I was looking at the speech of, the president of EU, and she's always making me laugh. He's a very good diplomat, but I think when it comes to the war on of Iran, things were not really in order. I want you to listen to what the president of EU has to say 2 days after the war in Iran, and currently, as she is indicating to say, particularly looking at that context, so we'll be able to move forward.
It's credibility. And I want to be clear. There should be no tears shed for the Iranian regime. This regime has inflicted death and imposed repression on its own people. They slaughtered 17,000 young people. And this regime has caused devastation and destabilization across the region through its proxies armed with missiles and drones. And many Iranians inside the country and across Europe and the world have celebrated Ayatollah Khamenei's demise.
Yeah, Yeah, now I want you to get the time, and also that was the beginning of the war in Iran. That was the president of EU expression, particularly at the beginning of war when Iran supreme leader was killed. And Iran has found a strategy to say we are crippling the world economy. Then I want you to listen to the same leader, particularly 40 days after the war, when the economy started hitting, because it was a celebration. I want you to listen and also be able to understand that it's not...
Hot dogs. I love hot dogs. I wonder why it's called a hot dog. I can eat them day or night. Let's squeeze some tomato sauce on this bad boy and enjoy. Ah, no! Now I've got tomato sauce on my dog, my watch, and my favorite shirt.
Sometimes you just squeeze too hard, and your favorite shirt gets ruined. But luckily, with Express Credit's easy payday loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes.
Ah. Now that's a relief.
Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
And also be able to understand that it's not a new thing in international fora. When leaders change position, they change views based on the interests of their people. And I want you to listen to Ms. Ursula again, particularly after the economy of... You know, the trade of Hormuz has hit Europe and also other countries.
We had an orientation debate. Once again, the Middle East has been engulfed in war. And these past 6 weeks have reminded us that peace cannot be taken for granted. In recent days, it seemed as if a pause was emerging. A ceasefire has been announced. You all witnessed that. Allow me to say a word of gratitude to Pakistan for the important role they have played to get to this point. But we also know that negotiations have been stalled now, and we have to see how things go on. You cannot have stability in the Middle East or the Gulf while Lebanon is in flames. So we call on all parties to respect the sovereignty of Lebanon and to implement a complete cessation of hostilities. Since the beginning of the conflict, 44 days ago, our bill for fossil fuel imports has increased by over 22 billion euros. 44 days, 22 billion euros, not a single molecule of energy in addition. And this shows the enormous impact this crisis has on our economy. First and foremost, it is important that we have a robust coordination among the member states. Because we've learned in any crisis, unity is our strength. So I would like to say that today Europe is Hungarian, without any question. The people of Hungary have spoken, and they have reclaimed their European path. It is a victory for fundamental freedoms. So with this result, our union is stronger. Our union is more united. It was an exceptional evening yesterday. Of course, we will start working with the government as soon as possible on the topics you mentioned and much more.
Yeah, that is what's happening. I find it very interesting, especially as you study and you look between the lines to say, is this guy on my side? What happened when things become warm? Because first, nobody should shed tear for Ayatollah, because it's dangerous and all these things, and nobody should feel messy. But now to say, no, it's becoming warm. It's becoming warm, guys. Let us talk. And our oil price is going up. And it seems like that the war, which is in the Middle East, is fought by intelligent people. It's fought by smart people who can think 10 years ahead. To say it's not about winning in terms of the battleground, but it's about how resilient you can be. And so about how much pain you can also take. And it's interesting to see. But also the question of also understanding and reading between the lines to say when countries are changing positions, when countries are changing alliance, what is that has to tell you? That has to tell you that when it comes to matter of economic interests, countries, they change science anytime, anywhere. You know, if you take 3 years ago, China and Europe have been not too friendly to each other as now. But you can take it back. You can go to 1945. You can look at Japan was the West Chinese, I'm sorry, was the West U.S. Enemy. They bomb each other. And U.S. even have to use nuclear weapon on that ground. But now they are best friends. They are best friends. You can't go between them. That is how things change. And even now, as we are speaking, when we have countries that we are calling, is Namibian friend, is our trading partner. What happened if they change the pace? That is something that you need to think about. It's not a matter of being a pessimist. It's a matter of being real to say, do I have an alternative if things got out of order? That is why it's interesting to look and also contextualize that aspect. And remember, from the hour of after a few minutes, we'll be engaging. We'll be having a conversation with the founder of Kahawa Art Center. That is Gideon Meameno Kashile, especially when he will be speaking more on the context of art and the economy of the art industry, the business part of it, the challenges, opportunities, and also the most important thing, what need to be done, particularly when you have identified your child who is talented, who has ability to see through the art of art, and what an artist can be able to do. Art can heal, art can bring you money, art can take you to places, and also art can also bring unity. That is why I want you to stay tuned until we bring this conversation to the conclusion. So stay tuned. We are here until the hour of 1900 hours.
We are moving forward with business and economic segment, especially when you are looking at issues of economic development. And today we'll be in the conversation with Gideon Meameno Kashile, especially when we are going to speak about art and culture. And we are going to engage that topic, particularly how the field is, especially when it comes to embarking on that industry. It's a rare industry, particularly looking at it. And Gideon Meameno Kashile is a founder of Okahao Art Center, and train young people, professionals, particularly in that field of art. But today we'll be speaking about more than art. We're also speaking about opportunities, challenges, and more specifically, we also speak about the aspect of how he is an entrepreneur and also, visual artist, to say, have experienced that assistance, if not, and also what could be the challenge. Gideon Kashile, thank you very much for joining us at Business and Economic Segment. How are things going? I'm doing very well. It's a very good thing, and it's also rare to see somebody who is a venture or an entrepreneur in the area of art and culture. We only used to see these things of museum, and in most cases, if I have to be fair enough, it has been headed over by our colleagues, our white communities. But you being a founder of Okahao Art Center, let's look at what really motivated you, particularly embarking into this journey, and how has it been?
Since I went to grade 10, my passion was in arts. Okay. I was focusing on arts, and I have been trying to draw different pictures.
Okay.
Then from there, I realized that I need to go further my study somewhere. I don't know. But that time I wasn't new. Then from there, I went to the youth. I attended my 6-month training in youth.
Okay.
In Utapi.
That is NYS?
Yes.
Okay.
It was 2008.
Okay.
Then from there, So from there, the vibe is coming. The vibe is coming, and I can see, I can able to do something better than this. So, and someone introduced me about the College of Arts.
Okay.
Then from there, I get the information from the internet. I call them. They said they will send me the application form. I apply.
Mm-hmm.
So that was 2009. Then in 2010, I get that opportunity to further my study in the college.
Mm-hmm. When you were growing up as somebody who loved drawing, have you ever seen somebody who inspired you to get into that journey or just something that you liked? Have you ever seen a person that you say, no, I think I want to be like David, or I think I want to be like somebody, or there is some money can come from this area, or you were just doing it for the love of drawing?
So the inspiration was there.
Yeah.
Because I've been in love of arts, and there was Johnny Mafanjo's pictures in the different magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, Papa Shikongeni was also appearing in different magazines, newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
So those were my mentors. I was like, feel like, one day I'll be with Papa or Johnny Mafanjo.
Yeah.
So those times around. So because they are most popular in visual arts.
Mm-hmm.
Then from there, the moment I went to the College of Art, it was my lucky time because Papa was there. So, so my teacher there. So.
Oh.
Yeah. So my lecture in printmaking. So yeah, I meet Papa, and I can see he give us so that powerful energy to do work and to take this art as an promote a subject so can able to inspire others in the ground.
Mm-hmm. Now, apart from drawing, if you have to tell somebody to say, what other good things can come from art? Because art is always linked to culture. What meanings can come from drawing a picture, apart from it being beautiful there? Maybe you just need to extend that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Like in general, let me say in general.
Yeah.
Whatever we do, it's go through drawings. Because we need to face, we need to design.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we normally used to do, it's all about designing.
Mm-hmm.
So as in the pictures or as in the visual artist, to draw in the pictures, it's really quite interesting because the digital one is not like in the visual one.
Mm-hmm.
So the quality of visual artists, pictures,
yeah,
it's not really the same like the one for digital because you need to go and observe.
Mm-hmm.
So how this person creating these pictures?
Mm-hmm.
So they because the pictures can give you the tones, the quality, the movements, the shapes, you know, the lines, the explanation of the way she's like.
So it
come up with those ideas.
It can tell a story.
Yes.
Now, it's interesting to look into that because we have people in our villages, people in our communities, or young people who are very good at drawing. But you speak about training too. Can an artist being trained or somebody just born knowing how to draw? Because we used to be a school, I think I was so good, but not really good. But there are those guys who can just look at the picture and copy exactly as it is or draw somebody almost exactly as the person is. Now, where do the aspect of training is and how is that come about?
So good, like we are all born talented.
Yeah.
By the creation of God.
Yeah.
So what we just need to do is just to earn the value on what God give us.
Mm-hmm.
We all born talented, so art is very good, and most of the people, we need just to guide them.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, just in a bit, because we are born talented. If you are so inspired by someone, or you are born talented yourself, and you like art, you like drawing, you like music, you like singing, it's something that you just need to add value on that, because the passion is already in you.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what we are doing in Okahawa Center.
Now, let us look at, because we have seen a lot of artists, a lot of people in the creative economy have been complaining to say, no, we are not getting assistance or we are not being looked up to. But looking at the 8th administration of the current government, you can also see that the president, Mwene Tumbo, and her administration, they look at that creative economy, and we see some of the progress in that area. But before we go to that, let us look at the general part of it. Do you think, as we are speaking now, parents understand that there are just children who are born talented, how to draw, how to become artists, and they need assistance, or you find it very difficult around that area?
It's quite difficult a yeah. bit, because since we Namibia get independence,
mm-hmm.
Art was neglected as a non-promotional
yeah,
no. subject.
Yeah, yeah.
And so people, they just take it as it is,
mm-hmm.
and it just goes like that. So it's quite difficult for us to change.
Egameno jomauyerere koko marungura kalishi ashike upsakadhi wa pautechnika oliliwo omkundu opashigwana upsakadhi wa paliko no hashivuro okuya moshipara uhupiro wongeshefa oshinimo mtumba wa Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition omvomao vigajo miongo mbalina khamano ikondo epangero mahangano opaumwene uministeri wepangero ni ikondo ya yoroka no handimwe oneta muithanwa muhoroke komtumba omtitatu watumburwa mete tekero esikwa milongo mbali naga alisikwa mbali naga nega apiriri mwavigali milongo mbali naga mano ekaroko Arembush Travel Lodge movenduka oshiparashi kundathanwa okuanja gane kuyerele kombinga ukoshoki wopo ungomba ano saiba hejin kena una okuironge kithira omashongo wako marungura no marongo kekopopeko jerongizo jo marungura na ilwe inji koneka omahangano ohandimwe ni kondo mbokata mkatu maa kaliripo ya konda pantu ya tano otamukape wa ompi ito yom tugu mwe awedhu wapo hasho ashikeshoka pethimbo jom tumba ugo tungoka otaku kakarao VIP cyber gala dina nuyere lounji wa maisha angitho no mapura apuro kwa tatha na nayo konoraje tatu imwe onda tu ya tano omgo ijeali nenge ko email info@dstech.com.na nenge utarelepe panja jao jopa ungomba ko www.dstech.com.na Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition Securing Namibia Digital Future.
Quite difficult for us to turn the elders, to turn the community in the way of what we are thinking of, like in art sectors.
Mm-hmm.
So but anyway, I've been like going in the village, motivating and encouraging elders through the parents' meetings, school meetings,
yeah,
in church, mm-hmm. somewhere there. So for now, we get a lot of numbers of talents, always like calling me and giving me some encouragement that they don't give up. One day we'll be there.
Yeah.
We bring our kids.
Yeah.
So it's not really yet understandable to them, but one of the good days they will be with on the same page.
Let us look at opportunities available for trained artists. You are in that space. Somebody may always ask to say, if I'm trained in drawing, I'm trained in designing, I'm trained in painting, for example, what is the future has for me? Maybe you can speak about some of the areas of opportunities, not only in terms of employment and also in terms of you doing something to get coins, to get money, for example. What opportunities are there?
So far, our centers in the partnership within the College of Arts.
Yeah.
Where they give us a lead that we need to train our youth for a year.
Yeah.
Then from there, we send them on the College of Arts according to the portfolios.
Mm-hmm.
The way who is doing the best, so we need to select. Then we send their portfolio to the College of Art, and from there they further their study. So that is not only the opportunities, but I expect we train them as in the community members, so to start their business or to create their entrepreneurships,
mm-hmm.
business entrepreneurships, like because we are having different subjects. We have visual arts, and we have performance art, where we have keyboard, guitars, mm-hmm. and I recall that we are teaching those type of things.
Mm-hmm.
So music, we teach them how to play guitars and how to play keyboards,
mm-hmm.
so they can able to create their own opportunities, like performing in the weddings, birthdays,
mm-hmm.
And again, one of the good day, maybe they can able to, again, they can get more skills, mm-hmm. so they can be also an art educator to other communities, or they can still join us, mm-hmm. because we still need them.
Mm-hmm.
To give basic again to the young ones that they are coming in every day by day.
No, it's
or to become the innovators, like in visual art, to be innovators, mm-hmm. like they are starting creating different artworks, mm-hmm. so they can able to exhibit in the country or international.
Mm-hmm. Now I, yeah. want, it's good that you mentioned other things such as keyboards and also, playing different instruments. I want to get an entrepreneurship part. Who train, I'm always curious, who train people that write into on buildings, write on the wall, when somebody, I want to open a pub, for example, I have to call somebody. Who train these people? Are they also coming from that field or they come from a different area?
No, we are here. We are the one. We are the trainers. We are train them.
So even to draw on
yes, like I'm specializing in visual arts.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not music. So I'm teaching visual art in the center.
Uh-huh.
So we write or we draw different mirrors in the Mstati regions.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still like focusing on looking for any space where I can able to go with my little one, the young ones, the one we are teaching now,
mm-hmm.
so we can able to showcase mm-hmm. The mirror paint in Nokahau town or somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Now let us look at, they have always been complaining about, opportunities, what artists are faced. Either it's a visual artist, either it's a performance artist, either it's instrument artist. There's always a challenge that are faced out there. Either I see these days, I was reading it, I think it's Kadira Mamu's page where he said, no, guys, please include, there was one local artist who was mentioned that, to say, no, include him in the performance because the person is performing in your town. Just to look into that context, are you also faced with challenges as a visual artist? What are some of those challenges are you faced with, especially in your field? What challenges?
Through this art industry.
Yeah.
We really have different challenges, man.
Yeah.
Number one, it's a lack of understanding to our community.
Yeah.
So whereby we are not doing art just for deco in our room.
Yeah, it's not for fun.
For fun.
Yeah.
But we want to give to the people to get able to see
yeah.
the value of art and what is all about art industry. The value of the quality of artworks, not like the digital one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, like here in the north, it's really quite difficult because we have challenge because the first time I introducing the first exhibition in Art Center.
Yeah.
So that was 2023.
Yeah.
I was like, getting in a small fund from Nandian Museum Association when it was on Heritage Week.
Yeah.
So then we creating an art exhibition with my what all the learners doing at my center.
Yeah.
So then from there I'm trying to create an EFRA, the posters they can post in different areas in Nokahau town and around.
Mm-hmm.
And a person can call you. What's the meaning of exhibitions?
Oh.
So we still need to mobilize and see the understanding of our communities. So that was the first challenge.
Yeah.
It's a lack of understandings.
Mm.
And the second is we artists, we just believe in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So if you didn't wake up morning and think about what you need to do tomorrow, what you need to do tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
so don't get money.
Uh-huh.
Because you are self-employed,
mm-hmm.
and we only focus in what God give us.
Mm-hmm.
Then we create those, then can able to show to the community members.
Mm-hmm.
So, like in Okahawa Center, we have facing different challenges where we are three.
Yeah.
Instructors or instructors, but now the problem is it's a lack of financial support to the center. We really need financial support.
Yeah.
Whereby when it's coming to the end of the month, I need to pay those my instructors.
Mm-hmm. Now, talking of finance. It's an interesting topic that you bring about. The government allocated 50 million to the creative industry in 2025-2026 budget. And I want to ask, through the corridors of the art, industry, through the corridor of creative industry, that because there are a lot of people, you have content creator, a musician, you have performance, through that corridors, did that message come to you, or have you guys in that sector received any send from that, or have you ever heard of something of that discussion?
So far, yeah, I heard about it, and today in the internet, in the newspapers, and everywhere.
Yeah.
But so far, we didn't get anything.
Mm.
Even though I guess I'm applying this National Youth Funds. I applied once.
Yeah.
And I didn't get any info about the proposal that I submit in.
Yeah.
And so far, maybe if these are going, we can see, maybe we can able to get.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but we still focus and we need to apply.
it's a very good thing that you brought that about, because you're not the first person to speak about that, and we try by all means to look at the report of those who get assistance and also those who maybe get into the future. But I want to get your overall understanding before I let you go, because you said you are very busy. How is the understanding? I want you to emphasize that, to say when we look at other countries, when you come here, we look at the industry of art, you see a painting can go even to 2 million, 3 million, and many other billionaires, they buy those things, especially the work of art. Now, in the context of Namibia, what do you think went wrong? What do you think went wrong in recognizing and understanding the art?
That lack of understanding.
Yeah.
And we neglecting arts, art industry itself.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's coming to the artists, the creators.
Yeah.
So it's quite difficult for us to get that opportunity, like South African, Nigerians,
mm-hmm.
because in their country, people are understanding the context of what is all about arts. How art is very important to the communities or to the past, how art is important.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, if you go to different houses in, let me say in the north, just like in the north towns, you go to the any house, when you go to the sitting room, then you can just find a certificate, attendance certificate.
In the graduation pictures.
You know, man.
Yeah.
We artists, we are trying to create different pictures that can able to take teaching and take stress from you.
Mm.
You know, sometimes you're just having a stress.
Mm, mm, mm.
But if you have a nice pictures that like you buy with your own heart, sometimes you go in sitting rooms and like sitting and watching that pictures, it can able to rehabilitating you, like give you some motive, so you can able to discuss the goals out.
So you are indicating that the picture can be able to bring your mood back if you are depressed.
Obvious, because you can see the way you are observing the pictures. It make your heart feel like, oh, now, so your heart is cooling down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So. One thing again, maybe it's, to our, business communities,
yeah.
or business industry communities.
Mm.
So they really need to go focus on art industry.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we are starting creating different arts,
yeah,
and music,
yeah,
this can able to uplift and inspire others, like those young ones in the communities. They are there in the streets, you know. We have a lot of kids in the streets. They are doing nothing, and they are just there, you know, taking or taking something that's not really needed for them and for their futures.
Yeah, just say they are using alcohol and drugs. We also talking about that. No. Yeah.
So if the ministry alert about that and then inspire or bring more focus like the way we have now, the art industry is getting 50 million.
Yeah.
So if this money given to the right people who is already in the grounds, so this can able to help.
So, what will your friends think if you show up at school with a brand new 10th gen iPad? TopScore Instant is making back to school in 2026 the coolest thing ever, giving away unbelievable prizes. To win one of 8 iPads or a weekly stationery voucher worth 1,000 Namibian dollars, simply buy a 1kg or 2kg TopScore Instant from any store nationwide and SMS Instant to 2442. Competition ends 31 March 2026. T's and C's apply. TopScore, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Care that goes where you go. That's international travel insurance through NHP. We facilitate cover of up to 10 million Namibian dollars per member for medical emergencies abroad as part of your membership. No extra charge. To receive your policy within minutes, simply register at nhp.com.na before you travel. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Who is already in the grounds. So this can able to help our nations to go far and to have different art industry that's coming from the community there.
Yes, Gideon Kashida, maybe just your last, I don't like telling people their last word, but just maybe the final emphasis. Particularly, I want you to talk to the parents out there. You know, some parents, they have kids that, the kids, they just make noise, or they are just dancers, or they just like acting, or they just like drawing, but they are not doing well in class. That will bring you to the interest of art too. But these parents...